Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com, is with us in the broadcast booth here at U.S. Bank Stadium. We were just discussing before the break this defense tonight. Is it more lack of execution or lack of talent?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, we all knew that this group wasn't the most talented of groups going into, you know, this whole season. But they turned it around because they were able to execute. And they couldn't tonight. Some of that had to do with the Eagles, but some of it was just, like, weird. I mean, you didn't have to be a football genius to know that Nick Foles likes to go to Zach Ertz on third down and fourth down. Yet they couldn't shut that down. It was an avenue all night. I mean, those are the type of things that I just didn't understand in this game. And, you know, I don't know. I'm at a loss, just like I'm sure many Patriots fans are after this game.
I think the issue is positional. I mean, I think defensive line is young and could be effective at some point. The secondary is, I think, halfway there, but there's nothing. There's no dominant personality on that defense. There's no individual that's a go-to guy or group of two or three guys that are dominant in their situation. And sometimes you need that on a team.
Yeah, I think this was a game where they missed Dante Hightower.
Yeah,
I mean, in the biggest games, you look for a guy who's going to make a play, and you're looking for that tonight. And you know, they did have a couple, you know, key stops now towards the end where Marquise Flowers made a tremendous play on, you know, this little wheel route that the fake wheel route that the Eagles like to run. And a lot, fools a lot of teams. But he read it the whole way. And you saw those things start to happen. You're like, okay, here we go. This is Patriots football. But, you know, that play, that touchdown to Ertz, where they just left McCourty out there with no inside help.
And you're sitting there screaming and pointing it out to the people you're sitting next to that's it. That's the one right there. Or the one wheel route that they ran with 30.
Clement. Yep.
You're sitting there, and the touchdown they caught, I said they moved it to find out what the matchup was, and they got the matchup they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it was just curious. It seemed like they – you know, I'm sure we'll get into the Malcolm Butler thing, which I don't understand. But, you know, it looked like they keyed their matchups off of Aguilar. And from there, and they thought, for whatever reason, that Butler wasn't the answer there. They didn't think that was Rowe. And it was Chung, which meant you had to bring in people like Jordan Richards to go up against Zach Ertz.
And
you're just like,
bad,
what?
Bad thing tonight to have to watch Jordan Richards play football.
Yeah,
game
I didn't.
Of this magnitude.
He's shown up in certain places. I don't understand it. But, you know, obviously the big question now is what the hell happened with Malcolm Butler? And, you know, even Eric Rowe said, you know, I was there when he talked, and he said that it was a surprise to him. He didn't find out until, like, right before kickoff that he was starting, and that Malcolm had been in the packages all week. And then all of a sudden, he's on the sideline. Not even as like a dime or anything else.
How is it not a disciplinary issue?
It has to be. I know Bill said it wasn't, but you know,
to believe that if you don't think it's a disciplinary issue, then you think that Bill Belichick made a rash decision, and he doesn't do that. That's not his history.
You know what? It feels personal, given what's happened over the last, we'll say, year with Malcolm Butler, going back to last offseason and everything that transpired with the signing of Gilmore, with Butler going to talk to the Saints, all of it. It feels like all of it was, from that point on, not good between Malcolm Butler and this team. And he came into camp, and clearly everything that happened in that offseason impacted the way Malcolm Butler played on the field this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing and talking about it the whole time that, like, you know, from Malcolm came into training camp and he looked distant and he didn't want to be a part of things. That sort of subsided. But I wrote in December that it wouldn't surprise me if Malcolm Butler got benched at some point because he was playing undisciplined. He was taking it out on some of his teammates. But they seemed to nip that in the bud. The other part is they didn't really have an option because Jonathan Jones went down.
Right.
Like, they did have an option to go with, once Rowe got healthy, to go with Gilmore, Rowe, and Jones if they wanted to. But then Jones got hurt. So if they would have benched Malcolm Butler, say, in December, then you could understand it.
Sure.
But to play the whole postseason – and then come here and he practices all Super Bowl week and he's not out there in the biggest game of the season, it doesn't make any sense.
I would hate to call day off.
I would hate to think that that a kid like Malcolm Butler would let what happened in the off season dictate how he played and how he approached the game. If you let something like that allow you to let your teammates down, I don't know if that's the kind of guy you want to be a teammate with.
Yeah.
Well, he admitted this. I mean, yeah. You go back to his comments at training camp. He, before camp was done, or I should say before preseason was done.
Really?
Yeah. He indicated that the offseason had impacted his start in camp, which was not good, and that it had weighed on him, but that he knew he had not played well and that he was going to straighten it out and it was going to be fine. And he was, you know, don't worry, you know. It was sometime in August where he was like, oh, you know, clean slate from here on out. That's in the past, and I'm moving on from it for me, my teammates, all that stuff.
But he didn't. He didn't play well at all.
No.
No, he just –
And we'll never see him play here again. This is it. He's
agreed.
Done.
Yeah.
Agreed.
He's done. And
somebody will get a bargain. He might turn it around. We know he's got the physical skills. Now he's got to get his head together, and someone might get a bargain for one-third of what he might have gotten in last offseason.
Yeah,
he's not going to command that kind of dough.
I know Belichick said it wasn't discipline, but it had to be. You don't make a change like that. Like you said, he's not rash. He's not going to change it.
Did you see his comments that he made to Mike Reese?
Yes, yeah. I did. And you know,
saying
so
the team
he was
gave up on him.
Yeah, I mean, he was surprised about it too, and that's tough. I mean,
but
his teammates definitely wanted him.
I mean,
out
don't
there.
You feel better? I mean,
also,
I know I would feel better if someone had come out and said, you know what, Malcolm Butler screwed up this
right.
week,
right,
and.
Yep.
In the interest of player discipline, because we have rules that we all go by, and when a player breaks rules, we discipline them. I just feel better about it.
Agreed.
I'd feel like, okay,
absolutely.
Happens.
They have a rule. They stuck to it.
And to maintain order and to prove to all your players that, nope, when I say we have rules and there are consequences, there really are, I'd feel better. But based on Butler's comments and based on his teammates' comments, go ask the coach.
Well,
Daron Harmon saying, go ask the coach.
Wouldn't you think, Greg, that if Malcolm Butler, if it was a disciplinary issue, he would know it and he wouldn't have this surprised response?
Yeah, he would admit it. I screwed up.
He would. Yeah. Yeah. There's been a situation where he's held himself accountable for the way he's played or whatever. Why wouldn't he be accountable if he screwed up to a point where he got disciplined out of the Super Bowl?
I mean, so much bizarre stuff. Gronk's
really
comments
is.
After the game. I mean, the thing is, they were one or two plays away from winning this thing.
Right.
That's the thing, and that's the Patriots. If Brady doesn't get strip sacked, they probably go down and score and win the game. But, you know, Brandon Graham got the best of Shaq Mason one time in the game, and it was just a big play.
No noticeable defensive plays, maybe the tipped interception, but
yep.
Very, very little noticeable defense on either side of the ball until one of the most important plays of the game. A strip sack to basically almost seal the game.
Yeah, that's what you're afraid of when you're dealing with that kind of group.
Yeah.
No defensive plays because nobody was playing any defense.
Nobody from the get-go.
This game was foolish.
From the get-go.
Statistically.
I'm surprised it wasn't more points.
So what do you think happens now with this, you know, reported meeting? And I know you had the first report, Greg, that there was an original meeting that was supposed to happen in Miami
mm-hmm.
with Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. That meeting did not happen. And now there may be a meeting this week, but we are now speculating again on the future of Belichick, Brady, the dynamic of ownership, the future of Josh McDaniels, the future of Rob Gronkowski. There's a lot of things going on here.
We know the future
Weird
of
night.
Malcolm Butler. That's the only one
well, we know
the
Malcolm. He's yeah. not going to be here. Malcolm Butler
yes.
will not be here. But all these other guys, the future seems to be up in the air.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't know. I've heard some weird things this week. I'm not going to put any stock into it, you know, yet till I get more sources. But, you know, I just think that, you know, there's a lot in play. And I think the best thing is everybody, you know, Steve, you know, from being in these football seasons, you're like a family for so many months. People
yep.
need to get a little distance, clear their mind, you know, realize that they're the best things for each other. And let's come to some sort of, let's get on the same page and move forward. And I think that ultimately happens because they have too much of a good thing going here. And I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem. But
that's a great way to frame it, though. You're hitting that on the head. And even individual responses, Gronk's response about checking out his future, that could be just a little bit of a, you know, not a hangover, but a response to how the game panned out and the concussion
yes.
that he had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see everybody but Malcolm Butler, well, not everybody, I mean the key players, back at it next season, a healthy Edelman, going after a championship again. I wouldn't be surprised.
I agree. I mean, that's where my money is on, and I expect that to happen.
Yep.
All right, Greg, appreciate all the times you came on post-game
yep.
this season, and we'll talk to you next season.
Yep. All sounds right. good. Thanks, guys.
Here? I don't know.
And the Boston Sports Journal is going great. Congratulations. Yeah. Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
BostonSportsJournal.com is where you catch all the coverage of the Patriots and all the teams in town at BostonSportsJournal.com. Our thanks again to Greg Bedard for joining us here in the booth in Minneapolis.